from the Carter Subaru Studios, this is the G and Ursula Show with G. Scott and Ursula Wojtyn.
It's 11:06 outside of Carter Subaru Studio. Yes, it is the G and Ursula Show. This show brought to you by Tycor Title. At 11:30, we're going to be joined by in-studio Pierce County Executive Bruce Dammeyer. He's going to join us. And also the mayor from Tacoma, Victoria Woodards. They're going to be joining the show at 11:30.
And just to explain why they're joining is that they are part of this news conference that is actually still ongoing.
Right.
And where all local leaders are announcing these new restrictions on large gatherings and what each county is doing.
And I'm quite sure those in Pierce County want to know what their leaders have to say. So, Pierce County, we're listening to you. We're going to bring them on to talk to you. Coming up here pretty soon, shortly, Dr. Eric Ding. He is an epidemiologist, health economist, and nutrition scientist at the Harvard Chan School of Public Health. He's going to join us here in a couple minutes. So we got a lot more to talk about as well. Ursula, let's get on to it.
Well, if you missed the news conference, Governor Inslee made the announcement about 10 or 15 minutes ago. He's calling this an extremely dangerous event, and he announced these drastic measures that are going to be implemented immediately to slow the spread of coronavirus, which is now a global pandemic.
Certain events in King, Snohomish, and Pierce County with more than 250 people are prohibited by order of the governor.
In a news conference, again, that is still underway, Inslee says this is going to affect any gathering of 250 people or more.
These events that are prohibited are gatherings for social, recreational, spiritual, and other matters, including but not limited to community, civic, public, leisure, faith-based, or sporting events, parades, concerts, festivals, conventions, fundraisers, and similar activities of that dimension are prohibited as we go forward.
So as of today, G, there are 24 deaths and 268 confirmed cases of coronavirus in Washington. But the governor says there are undoubtedly thousands more on the street. And one of the things that they just kept emphasizing is that we are just on the brink of what we're about to see, which is going to be just duplication of duplication and basically expansion of the virus. And the concern is that it's going to double every couple of days.
Right. Right now, we do have someone on the phone. And let's go ahead and reach out and talk to an expert on the line here joining the G and Ursula Show, Dr. Eric Ding. He is an epidemiologist, health economist, and nutrition scientist at the Harvard Chan School of Public Health. Dr. Ding, this is the second time you've joined us. We appreciate your time, sir.
Yeah, happy to be back, but under unfortunate circumstances with the epidemic.
Dr. Ding, you know what's going on right here. Our governor, Jay Inslee, just got on and let us know about the cancellation of events, especially of those 250 or more. In your opinion, sir, in expert opinion, what do you think about the need to cancel large events right now?
Yeah, I think it was absolutely the right move because there is so much we know that at a certain point, containment must require stopping public gatherings. Because, you know, you can only quarantine only a limited so many people. But with our under diagnosis and under testing, and we know that there's way more cases out there than we can identify, the only way we can truly stop it right now is by blocking these major events.
Dr. Ding, he also mentioned that there is a good chance that this is going to go through the rest of the month of March and a good possibility of reaching into the month of April. In your expert opinion, how long should something like this happen?
As long as we the cases are going up, I think it needs to keep happening because right now we're still in a mode of exponential increase. We are not even at bend in the corner in terms of down to basic linear increase, not to mention the plateauing. We have to do this until at least the cases plateau and clearly have started dropping. But again, we can't let down our guard too early, because if you let it down too early, the epidemic, we know there's way more than we actually have numbers for, it could easily rebound. And we don't want to be Lombardy, Italy, where absolute runaway epidemic, and everyone is suffering to a severe degree.
It sounds like in Italy, their healthcare system is at its breaking point, and which is what we are trying to avoid.
Yeah.
So you mentioned testing, yeah, Doctor.
They are way over capacity.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You mentioned testing, and one of the big frustrations now is a lot of people are saying, we're hearing about these tests that are coming our way. 1 million were sent out, and then 4 million coming out this week. But so many people still cannot be tested. What is your take on that?
Yeah, I think right now it's, in certain ways, it sounds great that there's 4 million kits going out across the country. But at the same time, what they don't realize is another bottleneck, actually two bottlenecks. So a lot of states are running out of reagents, these chemicals needed to actually extract the RNA and so that they can run the test. And also limited manpower to run these PCR tests, because these are somewhat labor-intensive tests. So we are still have other bottlenecks that we have not broken through yet. And, you know, I think it's a great move to have these drive-through testing that Seattle has started first across the country, but it's not enough. And I want to also give a shout out to Dr. Helen Chu of University of Washington. She's a true American hero for breaking. She's the Rosa Parks that actually broke this first epidemic, identified it in Washington State when no one else wanted her to test for this virus. So,
Doctor, I want to mention
this epidemic could have been 10 times worse.
Let's talk.
You brought up her name. Sorry, Doctor. And you brought up her name, and she we talked about her earlier today. In that she could have, basically there were delays in getting the testing, and she wanted to, she had some samples because she was doing a study on the flu,
yeah,
and she had some samples and she was blocked.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's got to be so frustrating, yeah, because it sounds like, in fact, maybe it could have been stopped even a little earlier.
Absolutely. And she tried to get permission to her testing for the longest time because she runs one of these respiratory disease surveillance studies, so one of the hallmark surveillance studies in the country, but she tried to get state and federal permission, and then she did it anyways because she just felt so compelled that the data, there must be a hidden epidemic. And when she discovered it, gosh, she said, you know, she realized it must have already been here. And then even after she did it and reported the results, the federal government tried to stop her with a cease and desist. And I think that's really, really frustrating, because had we listened to her even sooner, and had she been given the permission test sooner, we could have stopped all of this epidemic from the very first place. But now the cat's out of the bag, and it's really not under control anymore to some degree. So we have to recognize more heroes like Helen Chu and others who want to speak out truth to power.
That is the voice of Dr. Eric Dean. He is epidemiologist and nutrition scientist at the Harvard Chan School of Public Health. I want to stay on that topic because it kind of sounds like what happened over in Wuhan, China, when the doctor over there was trying to talk about things that were going on, and they were trying to stop him from talking, and he unfortunately ended up passing away from the coronavirus. Doctor, in your opinion, why do you think that there was a cease and desist to stop the potential of unmasking what was really going on with the doctor here?
Well, the supposed reason is that, you know, her project was funded for the flu. It was not specifically funded for the coronavirus. But then it could never have been funded originally for coronavirus, because it's a brand new novel virus that it clearly did not appear until late last year to the world. And so when her project was really funded, it wasn't obviously we just didn't have the flexibility. You know, our leaders, our bureaucrats, and for other various reasons that I do not yet know, they basically did not want this project reallocated or partly modified. And that is extremely frustrating. We have to be able to pivot. Our policy leaders, public health leaders, scientists must be listened to whenever there is a public health potential emergency. And we have to give them the independence to pivot for something like this when we clearly see a clear and present danger.
Doctor, the governor mentioned that schools are not closed yet, but he suggested or hinted that, you know, that could still happen in the days to come, maybe even as soon as the end of this week. We are on what we call step 10 of this 13-item action plan that the State Department of Health here in Washington has come up with, which is ordering cancellation of large public events. Next one is shutting down schools and daycares. Should we go all the way to step 13, which is establishing an area where it's like quarantined and shutting down all travel, or would that be too much?
It is very difficult to say. You know, again, I wish I had more testing so I could know a true extent. But we know that this epidemic has been circulating for quite a while, and we know that the numbers are going up exponentially. We may have to consider shutting down schools and these daycares perhaps much sooner. You know, it's very unfortunate. You know, maybe high school students can do teleschooling, but obviously younger children cannot. And everyone should start making arrangements, because this epidemic is not stopping, and it has no signs of stopping in the near future. And until this containment is almost foolproof and people actually abide by them, I don't think we're going to be able to stop this until we actually have a vaccine all the way. So I'm really hoping people abide by these new containment measures, because that will slow the virus down to hopefully below healthcare system capacity. Because if we exceed healthcare system capacity, that's when all the morbidity and mortality will actually increase even further.
Dr. Ding, I really appreciated you both coming on our show last week, and then of course coming on our show now, because it just seems like when you've come on, you've really kind of done your best as possible to kind of educate us a little bit more to so much that we don't understand. And so this is a selfish question of me, because this is how I'm thinking personally and for everyone that's listening. Best case scenario, sir, what can you see going forward as a best case scenario going forward?
The best case scenario is that we kind of have, with a complete and almost draconian lockdown, which is, unfortunate but necessary, maybe we could turn the corner and slow down and decelerate and perhaps actually decrease in number of new cases per day, kind of like what Wuhan did after a whole month of battling this epidemic. I hope we don't get to Italy levels, but hopefully we could actually round the corner. But again, we have to be very strict in terms of our travel, and maybe it will improve in a couple months, and in which the actual cases will stop within like sometime in mid to late April. But this thing will definitely go for another month for sure. And I'm hoping that, this does not become a 50-state epidemic situation. WHO just declared a pandemic finally earlier today, about an hour and a two ago. And we have to realize, it is everywhere now. We just have to prevent the extreme situations like Italy. And I think Seattle is doing a great job right now with this new announcement.
What is the significance of calling it a pandemic finally? And it seemed like it did take a while.
Yeah, it took a little bit longer than I would have liked. Maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago might have been even better. But pandemic basically means that the risk for community spread is now existing in so many countries. It's almost moot to say that there is certain areas you should avoid traveling, because now the risk is almost everywhere. Every country is at risk now. And to say that, one country should avoid, other countries are okay, I think that's where the tipping point, where the pandemic is, where they declared it, because now there is no real safe country. There's so many countries with existing cases and the rapidly rising cases.
Doctor, if there are people listening thinking, and I know there are a lot of people feeling hopeless, we're trying to say stay calm, but with every day there's just more news that is anxiety inducing. What is your best advice? Anyone who's listening right now is saying, what can I do today? What is that advice? Well, it sounds like we just lost our connection with him. And I'm sorry that we don't have it. I do have new information now, though, from Dr. Jeff Duchin, who, the big question we had was in King County. So King County has even further restrictions as far as event gatherings. And this is what Dr. Duchin had to say about that.
Okay. So for gatherings under 250 attendees, we will require that older adults and individuals with underlying medical conditions that may increase their risk of serious COVID-19 be encouraged not to actively be encouraged not to attend. That would include employees as well. That social distancing recommendations will be met, and an example of that is to limit the close contact of people within 6 feet, but depending on the specific situation, we can work with the group and try and find something that makes sense based on the specific type of gathering that's being planned. We want employees to be screened for coronavirus symptoms each day and excluded if symptomatic. For organized events, we want to make sure that proper hand hygiene and sanitation are readily available to all attendees and employees, and that the organization and the sponsor is following the environmental cleaning guidelines from the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
Okay, so those are the guidelines that they're saying. If you are going to have an event that would be even smaller than 250, but still a large gathering, these are the things that have to happen.
And here soon we're going to have someone from Pierce County to kind of ask questions and talk about that. And if you have any questions, go ahead and text us right here at 98973 on the State Roofing text line, as Pierce County Executive Bruce Dammeyer will be in, and also the mayor of Tacoma, Victoria Woodards. I promised myself, I actually wrote it down and put a star. And I said, gee, you are too emotional right now. You don't need to react to Dr. Ding being on the show. And when I hear Dr. Ding talk and I look at the text line, I can only compare it to when Dr. Ding was on our show before and looking at the text line. And here's where the emotion comes in. Ursula, when he was on the show before, mm-hmm. everybody was like, get this guy off, get him off. He doesn't know what he's talking about. Now, when he's on right now, you can
the Harvard doctor.
The Harvard doctor doesn't know. Uh-huh. Now when he's on, the tone is a little different. Can you ask him this? Because we all want to know a little bit more.
And I don't mind that people are changing because they're being more informed. And I get it. We now know more. And I'm not gonna, at this point, it's all about getting more facts.
Yep. Means the world to you guys listening to Cairo Radio. Thank you. It's the Gene Ursula Show. Welcome back in, ladies and gentlemen, to the G and Ursula Show. Means the world to listen to Cairo Radio. Thank you. We're waiting right now. Pierce County Executive Bruce Dammeyer and Tacoma Mayor Victoria Woodards. They're going to be coming in, but they've been in traffic a little bit, and so they're going to come over. And they're actually our producer just let us know that they're actually going to pull over just so they can make sure that they are able to talk to the people.
Which is right. And they were, along with Governor Inslee and Seattle Mayor Jenny Durkin, they were making these announcements of these drastic measures they're going to be taking basically to stop the spread of coronavirus. They are imposing a ban on public gatherings and events of more than 250 people in King, Pierce, and Snohomish counties. And this proclamation that Governor Inslee has signed also requires social distancing at smaller gatherings in these three counties. Executive Dow Constantine says King County is going to go even further.
Public Health Officer Jeff Duchin will be signing an order that prohibits smaller events of 250 people or less unless they meet public health guidelines to ensure social distancing, adequate sanitation, regular health checks of employees, and other measures designed to prevent the virus from being transmitted.
Right now, joining the G and Ursula Show by way of the telephone, we really appreciate them doing that. Pierce County Executive Bruce Dammeyer and Tacoma Mayor Victoria Woodards, thank you, the both of you, for being on the show. Thank you.
You bet. Thank you, G.
I want to get right into it. Can either of you explain as best you possibly can what the impact of shutting down events of over 250 people in Tacoma and Pierce County will be?
So first of all, gee, I would say that the number one objective here, right, we know that the vast majority of our residents are going to get through this epidemic and out the other side. We know that our kids are particularly effective in fighting this off. The real issue is that we're focusing on is those kind of vulnerable populations are seniors, people who are pregnant, and people with compromised immune systems. So this is all an effort to try to dampen and minimize kind of their exposure and the folks that can get disease to them, because those folks are particularly vulnerable to attack by this disease.
There has been a lot of people that have reached out to the show, reached out to, I'm quite sure, both of your offices as well, to try to find out as much as they can about this coronavirus, about it being a big deal. And there is all this media panic, unfortunately, that they're saying, and that taking actions like shutting down public events or canceling schools maybe is a massive overreaction. What do each of you, a Republican and a Democrat, believe is the right thing to do right now at this time?
Well, so I would say our number one duty as elected officials is the safety and concern and care of our residents. And so to some, I don't think this is an overreaction at all. We have a state that has an opportunity to actually curtail the spread of this virus. And so I think we are taking measures so that we won't end up like some other places. And I think it's the right thing to do. I don't think it's an overreaction. I think we've got to take this seriously. You know, we heard stats this morning that the coronavirus or COVID-19 is 10 times more. I mean, 10 times more people are likely to catch it. And it's 10 times more deadly than the common flu that we keep referring it to. So when you think about things that are 10 times more can be 10 times more deadly, you have to take measures that might seem 10 times more likely than what we would do. And that's what the governor announced today, and that's what we're going to support.
And I would say, first of all, I appreciate your lead in there, G. But to my knowledge, COVID-19 knows no political party.
That's
so
right.
It's
yes.
Equal opportunity here. And I would say that our focus is we want to make sure that our community doesn't have to go down some of the paths that other communities sadly had, some in China, some in Italy right now. We want to make sure that we're doing everything we can to make sure we're on a different path protecting our communities.
So what hasn't happened yet is the shutdown of schools and daycares and the airport. But there are additional steps that could be taken if this, you know, these measures so far don't work in curbing it the way we hope it does. They do. Do you think we should go to the end step sooner, or are you happy with the pace that this is going?
So that's always the challenge that as elected leaders that we are working with, you know, under the strong advice and partnership with the Tacoma Public Health Department and Dr. Anthony Chin, we're relying heavily on his expertise and their expertise and working out what are the right measures. We don't want to overreact and cause a huge amount of disruption to our community if it's not really justified. At the same time, we need to get ahead of the disease. So in some cases, some of the actions may look like they are not fully justified at the time they are taken. One of the things that has been discussed significantly in our community and throughout the region is closing schools. And I know that there's a lot of good discussion about that. In some cases, again, our children have shown a remarkable ability to resist this disease. There's a lot of concern for what is it better for our communities and for our children if we close schools or if we don't close schools. There's ample evidence on both sides. So that's a very challenging issue right now, not an easy decision. And certainly I think we've seen at least initially this step of kind of restricting gatherings of 250 or more is greater efficacy in trying to slow the spread of disease, even than closing schools would at this point. That's what the public health officials are telling us.
Well, I would just add, right, it's a very delicate balance. what decision do you make and when? And I think that's why this issue is obviously so fluid, because what we said at 10 o'clock may be different than what we say at 2 o'clock. Mm-hmm. And that's why being on top of this issue and staying extremely engaged is really important. And not just for us as elected officials, but it's really important for our residents to stay very engaged, to hear what the next piece of information is that we get, because this is something we haven't experienced. We are learning minute by minute about what the best rules should be governing how we move forward. So I think just staying in tune and recognizing we're doing the best we can with the information that we have at the moment that we're making those decisions.
These are the voices of Pierce County Executive Bruce Dammeyer and Tacoma Mayor Victoria Woodards as they join the G and Ursula Show. The both of you, we've heard from the governor. We've heard from politicians in Washington that have all these plans to help folks out that are losing jobs. Small businesses are kind of closing. And there's going to be some financial hardship that's going to be happening because of this impact of the coronavirus. So this is a time that I have to ask you, it's specifically for the folks for Pierce County. What do people in Pierce County need to make it through this time? And how can we make sure all of this happens soon enough?
Yeah, that I'll lead off there, G, and thank you for the question, because it is, you know, the ramifications of this and the impacts of this disease and this virus are greater than just the medical impacts, as you well point out. One of the things that is very different about the folks in Pierce County, and we love it down there, when you talk about some of the commute work from home options that are available to many of the tech companies up in King County. You know, we got a lot of manufacturing and distribution companies in Pierce County. So those kind of policy changes don't really help our folks. Our folks need to be at work. We need to kind of minimize that. We are in discussions with the federal government and with the state government, particularly around kind of economic aid long-term, both for businesses. I do know that we are changing in the state, changing the unemployment insurance rules to make sure COVID applies. So if some business does shut down, that they get their benefits much more quickly. We're also modifying the workers' comp restrictions so that if somebody gets sent home on quarantine from work, that they immediately can access workers' comp. But you are exactly right. This is a big, significant issue that we've got to address the medical piece first and foremost, but we've got to do that with an eye toward how our community is going to come out on the other end.
I would just add to that list social service agencies, as Executive Dammeyer so clearly stated during the press conference. Our social service agencies are the ones who are serving our most vulnerable populations. And a lot of people who even work for our social service agencies or volunteer are those themselves who might be the vulnerable population. So as we think about what we as a community need to do, I mean, the guidance is there, you know, wash your hands. If you're sick, don't come to work. But to the people who are healthy and taking good care of themselves, where you can and where it seems feasible, still supporting our local nonprofits and our local restaurants and stores, right? They've got employees and they've got businesses that they need to be able to sustain. And so while we're saying if you don't have to go out, don't go out. If you're from one of the vulnerable populations, please isolate yourself and take care of yourself. But also, if you're healthy and fine, continuing to support those businesses and organizations and sending in donations, whatever you can do. We need the work to be done by our social services. When we think about people who provide food and shelter and utility bill payment and after-school programming, all of those things are going to be really important in the time that we're facing.
We sure appreciate both of you, Pierce County Executive Bruce Dammeyer and Tacoma Mayor Victoria Woodards. Great information. And I think bottom line is if we have the ability to help and we are doing okay, it's great to be able to help others too and think of others who are suffering during this outbreak.
Absolutely. But take care of yourself.
For sure.
First.
Thank you. Really appreciate you guys. Thank you so much. Be safe.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks, G. Thanks, Ursula.
Thank you.
It's G and Ursula Show.
It is 11:53, and as we wrap up the show, we want to say thank you so much for hanging out with us here on the G and Ursula Show. We have received hundreds of messages from all of you, and we're so sorry that we cannot get to them all today. There's just been so much news, and we do know that it feels dark for you, for many of you right now. We know you're worried. There are going to be some tragic stories in the days to come, but there also are going to be incredible acts of human kindness, generosity, and sacrifice, and we want to bring you those stories as well, along with all that you need to know each day as this virus moves through our region. And with that thought, we end with the wise words of a very special man, Mr. Fred Rogers.
You know, my mother used to say a long time ago, whenever there would be any really catastrophe that was in the movies or on the air, she would say, always look for the helpers. There will always be helpers, you know, even just on the sidelines. That's why I think that if news programs could make a conscious effort of showing rescue teams, anybody who is coming into a place where there's a tragedy, to be sure that they include that. Because if you look for the helpers, you'll know that there's hope.